From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, April 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. This morning, resolutions in several stories we've been following, including over picking a sheriff and a city council member and a controversial data center project. Plus, it's been 20 years since the NCAA ruling that prompted the University of Illinois to retire Chief Alinowick. And U of I still doesn't have a new mascot.
Instead of having like a legit real mascot, we've got this ghost mascot that just hovers.
That's all coming up on The Gateway. The St. Charles City Council picked Chris Kyle's name out of a bucket to break a tie in the election for the Ward 1 seat. That's the official protocol. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich was at the draw.
The city charter requires council to finalize election results at its next meeting and, if there's a tie, to use a random draw to determine the winner.
The name is Chris Kyle.
Incumbent Bill Otto filed for a recount Monday ahead of last night's meeting, but the hearing on whether to approve that recount isn't until May 1st. The winner of that recount would take the seat regardless of the results of the random draw. Otto asked council to delay the decision until after a recount is approved.
If we certify these election results today and declare a winner, and that person loses a hand count, council will have to figure out how to unravel this mess.
The motion was not seconded and died on the floor. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis judge has ruled Mayor Kara Spencer can appoint a sheriff in case of a vacancy over Governor Mike Kehoe. Circuit Judge Thomas A. McCarthy issued that ruling yesterday. He says the city must meaningfully include the board and comptroller. He also says state law prevents the governor from having the power to appoint a temporary sheriff. State and city leaders have fought over the last few months about who has the authority to select an interim sheriff following a judge's removal of Alfred Montgomery from the office. Another judge appointed former police chief John Hayden Jr. as interim last year. The Missouri House passed a resolution that gives lawmakers the ability to expand sales and use taxes in order to eliminate the income tax. Because the House took up the Senate amended resolution without requesting a change, it has officially passed the legislature. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, now Missouri voters will have the final say on the issue.
Members of the House voted 95-59 to pass a proposed constitutional amendment with the tax changes. Proponents say eliminating the income tax will make Missouri more competitive, while opponents worry the change will come at a higher cost to everyday residents. House Minority Leader Ashley Onney of Kansas City said the issue is unpopular among voters.
Voters are paying attention, and you have my word that I will be spending the next 6.5 months making sure your constituents know just how enthusiastically you supported making their lives more expensive.
The proposed amendment could be voted on in a special election or in November. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A controversial data center that's part of a $3 billion project planned for Midtown St. Louis received final approval from the city's Board of Public Service. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri has details.
Just weeks after Mayor Kara Spencer asked the board to delay a vote on the project, the board untabled a motion to approve a conditional use permit for the 120-megawatt data center located near the Armory Building. It was revealed new rules have been attached to the project, mirroring rules under consideration in the city to regulate data centers along with a community development agreement. In a statement, Mayor Kara Spencer said she could not ignore what could be done with the estimated $423 million in tax revenue the project could create.
St. Louis isn't just open for business. We're leading the country on what responsible data center policy looks like.
The board awarded the conditional use permit unanimously as protesters in the room held up signs opposing the development. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Concerns about artificial intelligence are steering people away from degrees in computer science. That's according to Missouri University of Science and Technology, which has seen a 17% decrease in applications for this fall. Part of that decline is due to new restrictions on visas for international students, but Provost John Harris says the university is also seeing low numbers for majors in computer-related fields. He says the fears that AI will replace employees aren't warranted.
AI is not taking jobs. It's people with AI skills taking the jobs of people without those skills.
Harris says the school recently launched a master's degree in AI and is working on a bachelor's degree as well. Even with the decline in applications, S&T is expecting a freshman class in the fall that's about the same size as in 2025. A prominent local restaurateur is bringing new life to a Clayton Starbucks that's been empty for 5 years. This week, a Clayton commission approved a conditional use permit for Gigi's Cafe on the corner of Wydown Boulevard and Hanley Road. Matt McGuire is behind the cafe. He also runs acclaimed Clayton restaurants Wright's Tavern and Louie. McGuire plans for Gigi's to serve coffee during the day and transform into a bar and pizza spot in the evenings. He says he hopes to open the cafe in October. Years ago, the NCAA told the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign that it could not bring out Chief Illiniwek at games. It said the fictional chief was hostile to indigenous communities. U of I retired the chief, but it still hasn't picked a new mascot. Some say the inaction is damaging the campus community. Emily Hayes reports that students are trying to fill the void.
Smile. Three, two, one.
Students are lining up to take pictures with the kingfisher. The six-foot bird costume matches U of I's school colors. Claudia Babel is a sophomore at U of I. She's the social media coordinator for the King's Guard, the student club pushing to make the belted kingfisher the school's new mascot.
They're native to Illinois and North America, but kingfishers are found all over the world, just like our students are.
During student elections in 2020, a majority supported the idea. Faculty in the University Senate followed soon after. But university spokesperson Pat Wade says U of I is looking for a new mascot that demonstrates it can bring the community together. And it hasn't seen one yet that clearly meets that standard. Meanwhile, the old athletic symbol persists. There are statues of the fictional Chief Illiniwek at some local bars. Babel says at sporting events, dads sometimes shout at the student in the kingfisher costume. Native American students and faculty at U of I have called on the university to discard the old mascot for decades. Students dressed as the mascot would wear a long feathered headdress and face paint. Supporters said the regalia honored Native Americans, but that wasn't how Native students and faculty saw it. Joseph Gaughan is a member of the Ani Gravant tribal nation in Montana and a professor at Harvard University. In the 90s, he was a PhD student at U of I. Gaughan and half a dozen other Native students believed they could educate the higher-ups on campus and get the Board of Trustees to eliminate the mascot.
Many of the people we talked to privately acknowledged that those rationales and arguments made sense to them, but that they were powerless to do anything.
It took a threat from the National Collegiate Athletic Association to push U of I to change. The school tried to appeal the policy on racist mascots twice and lost in April 2006. Political winds have shifted since that ruling 20 years ago. President Trump threatened to hold up the Washington Commanders' plans to build a new stadium last year if the team didn't revert to its previous name. And he has an ally in the Native American Guardians Association.
My mom always taught us to be very proud to be the real Redskins, and if anyone was going to be offended by being the Redskins, it would be my mom.
Becky Clayton Anderson is a president of NAGA. She's an enrolled member of the Hidatsa in North Dakota. She grew up in central Illinois and went to Sullivan High School, where the sports teams are the Redskins. The Department of Education has supported NAGA's latest lawsuit.
We're one step away from the Supreme Court.
Clayton Anderson says NAGA's next step is to go back state by state to make schools reinstate names and images like Chief Illiniwek. But many schools have moved on, and some administrators say they don't want to go back. Brad Bobo is Associate Athletic Director for Marketing at Arkansas State University. He's proud to have graduated from the school when the students were the Indians. But he says the old mascot had its own challenges.
You were so mindful about not being disrespectful to Native Americans that honestly, you were a little bit handcuffed from a marketing and a licensing standpoint.
The sports teams became the Red Wolves. And Bobo says the new mascot didn't lead to any decline in alumni donations.
Even though you don't like being told you got to do something, I would tell you, changing was the best thing for us.
Community members at U of I hope the school can take a similar step because they say not having a new mascot continues to harm Native Americans on campus.
They could care less about us.
Jackie Rand is an American Indian Studies professor at the school and a citizen of the Choctaw Nation in Oklahoma. Rand says the lingering presence of Chief Illiniwek makes it hard to hire Native American faculty.
So instead of having like a legit real mascot, we've got this ghost mascot.
In the meantime, the Kingfisher is ready to step up. Whether it's outside Memorial Stadium during a football game or celebrating the Illini's Elite Eight basketball win, the mascot is trying to unite the campus. I'm Emily Hayes.
That story comes to us from member station WILL, Illinois Public Media. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.